Okay, so there are a few things that we left last week on the Luchot, the Shivrei Luchot, Munachim Ba'aron issue. One of the points that we did not discuss yet is that there is an assumption of this Agadata which may not be true. This Agadata is actually taking a position on the which question, specifically how many Arons. All right, Aro note. It's Aro note. It's one of those weird ones. Yeah. How many Aro note? Are they? Are there? And this is a machlokes in the Yerushalmi in Shkalim.
Is it a coincidence that there's a machlokes about the how many Arons and also how many Parochas? Is that a coincidence?
Maybe not. But there's a good reason in the Psukim that there's a suffix about this.
Okay.
Right. Meaning, it sounds like there are two Arons, because in Dvarim, Moshe says that he was told to make an Aron when he goes for the second Luchot,
right,
which makes it sound like that's a different one. So the chronology gets very confusing. But the Yerushalmi says that Tani, Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, and some Gersot, or just Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Lakish, and other versions, which is obviously very different generations there. Rehuda bar Eloi and Rehuda ben Lakish, these are not even close to the same generation. Rehuda bar Eloi is
Like a Savarai?
No, it was Tana.
Oh,
Rehuda bar Eloi, like Tana. And Rehuda ben Lakish, I assume, is like, I don't know. I get Reish Lakish.
So that's later on, right?
He's not Reish Lakish, but I guess that family or something, right? Shimon Lakish. But anyways. So he says, Shte Aronot him halchin im Yisrael b'midbar. There were two Arons. Aleph Shahita HaTorah Nituna B'Tocho V'Echad Shayu Shivrei Luchot Nituchon B'Tocho. One with the Torah, and one with the Luchot, and one with the
Shivrei Torah.
The broken Luchot. Do you have the source from last week?
I do not.
Wow.
Hey, okay. Neither do I. I'm like on my phone. What? Oh, sorry. Four. Or if you can get the printer working, then fine. I've sent several to the printer, but the printer is, you know.
Oh, could you send it to my phone?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, can I have it also?
Yeah. Send it.
Give me yours. I like the game.
It's like a spot.
I mean, it's fine.
Okay. Zev.
I've done 4 sets of 20 so far.
I'm so proud of you. Yi Yasher Kochacha.
No, in the Rashi it's like Yi Yashar.
No, it's Yi Yasher, just like it is right here.
Sorry.
In this Gemara. This is the source, man.
I know.
Which sheet are we on?
The one from last week that, do you have it? Well, I have it on my phone right now. So, anyways, so that's the first position, that there are two. I am Zeshai Detar Nutan Bitocho.
Yishar Kol.
Yeah, well, it's not.
It's
probably not. Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Hayimunach ba'ol moed had the dechtev Aron b'ed Hashem u'Moshe lo mashu mikarav ha'machane zeshai yishiv eluchon nutan bitocho yenichnas yosim enu v'amshay mitrei imohen. The one that had the real luchot is just in the Omoed. And the one that has the Shivrei Luchot travels with them or goes out to war, like in the time of Shmuel.
Yeah.
Remember that, Aron? In the time of Shmuel, the one that went out with the war, the beginning of Shmuel, Chofni, Pinchas died, that thing.
Didn't they take the actual Aron for that one?
So according to this day in the Yerushalmi, no. They took the other Aron, the one with the Shivrei Luchot. The Rabbanan said no. Aron echad hayo pam achas yotza b'me'eli v'nishba, and he said no. There's only one, and that one got captured in the time of Eli. It happened once. And what's the proof for that shita? So the Rabbanan say because he says mi yatzilenu miyad ha'elohim ha'adirim, because they say who will save us from God? It sounds like the Aron, capital, right? Capital T. The Aron, not an Aron. Messiah Shimon Lakish, Vayomer Shaul Lachia Gish Aron Elohim Valo Aron Bekira Yarimaya. But the problem is Shaul at some point says, "Bring me the Aron," when we know the Aron wasn't there. It was in Kiryat Yarim, not where Shaul was. So then the Gemara says, how do you deal with it for the Rabbanan? So maybe he meant the tzitz.
Happened to say the Aron.
Correct, fine, etc. So you have two shitot. Now, as the Rashi in general thinks, how many Arons are there?
Two.
The Ramban holds
one.
Right, and what's the Ramban's proof that the majority view in Chazal is what that's what he meant when he said Aron, because the Aron wasn't there when he said Aron.
Because the Aron wasn't with the Plishtim.
No, you're off on the story. Different story. Different story.
Shaul, not Shmuel.
Yeah, different stories that are being invoked in this
several years later.
So the Ramban says, the Katav Rashi veLozo Aron Shatzah Bitzalel Sharei Lo Nitasku Mishkan Alachar Yom Kippurim Kirato Minahar Tzivel Emam Alechad Mishkan. Right, that Aron in Dvarim that I said that Moshe made that he went up to the mountain with.
Right.
Rashi says that's the other Aron. That's the other Aron because the Mishkan Rashi Lishitato thinks that when is the Mishkan built? After the Egel.
Right.
So how could he build an Aron going up? Must be there are two.
Why can't he have built the Aron before the...
Because Bitzalel builds the Aron. And this one Moshe is being told to build.
I see.
So therefore... And he says, and that's the one that went out. L'milchama! And Bitzalel didn't go out except for the time of Eli. Right, so Rashi thinks, sort of mixes the Rishalmi. He thinks there's two, but that's the Aron, right? He buys half and half. There are two Arons, but the one that went in time of Eli is the...
Is the real one.
Is the real one, right? Which is, of course, not how the Yerushalmi takes it, which is if there's two, it's the other one.
Now what, the Shivrei Luchos was still around in any of this?
Yes, right. In the other Aron, and that's the one that goes out to war.
Yes.
Is the alternative that they lost the Shivrei Luchos?
But what does the Ramban say? The Ramban says, V'yish l'shov achar shotzi mishama luchot v'entam ba'aron shasa b'tzalel ma'haya b'zeh. He said, I don't understand what exactly was in there. Like, what is going on here? What's his major proof? That the majority of the Agadic tradition is Luchot Vishivrei Luchot Munachim Ba'aron. The fact that the Bavli in three places has Luchot Vishivrei Luchot Munachim Ba'aron proves that the Bavli's view is in line with the Shita that there's only one Aron, because if there's two Arons, they have different things, and then they're not in the same Aron. And therefore, and this is one of those funny things that sometimes you find in Agadah, where the Ramban says that, right, an Agadic statement about something completely different,
yeah,
you learn about, you know, the halachic or mitzvahs assumptions of another halachic reality, Agadah, based, which has nothing to do with it, but it's just based on the reality, right? Meaning, the Luchot or the Shivrei Luchot can't be Muchat Menachem Baron if there are two Arons.
Yeah.
The fact that the Bavli in three places says Luchot or Shivrei Luchot Menachem Baron proves that we possibly like the Shit Rabbanan in the Yerushalmi.
Works.
Right?
I hear. It's good proof.
And he says, that's Dat Rabbe Tenu B'chol Makom B'Talmud. Right? Because Luchot V'Shivrei Luchot Murachim Baron. Right? This is an amazing moment of, like, you really need to, like, have internalized the working assumptions of unrelated Agadot to get behind it. Now, once you have that point, so now we can go back and say, well, what is... now we can really come back to our Agadot and say, wait, it's not just that we hold Luchot V'Shivrei Luchot Menachem Ba'aron, but this is the product of a particular exegetical and historical claim, meaning there was another tradition that the Luchot V'Shivrei Luchot would not be Menachem Ba'aron, meaning this position is actually taking, in order to get to this, it wasn't like a given. Right, suddenly you realize in Yerushalmi it wasn't like a given. Oh, obviously the Luchot and Shivrei Luchot are Munachim Ba'aron. It's they came to a particular conclusion, and it was a chiddush. And it's like, oh, if that's the case, there must be something here because it could have gone otherwise. Right, and that
what
provides the backdrop for the sort of compelling claim the Gemara makes, which is, oh, look, they're in the same Aron, and that means something.
Because that's a finish.
Exactly.
Does that mean, according to the position that holds there's two Arons, then this whole Gadata is not true?
Well, that's what you don't know, right?
It's
not the proof, right?
Right.
So I gave you just two sort of like, you know, words you'll find online, right? Where you see, well, what exactly is the vort then? And what is it really getting at, right? We talked about it a little bit halachically, but what does it mean that they're both there? Because right? Last week we really focused on what does the kavo do to the shivrei luchot, so to speak. But that's not really the whole drasha, is it? Once you realize this backdrop, part of the drasha isn't just that the shivrei luchot are there, it's that
they're together.
The luchot v'shivrei luchot malchum baron. It's the fact that they're together. Right, so last week we focused on what is the chiddush of the shivrei luchot. But when you realize the backdrop to this, you realize half the agadata is the fact that the shivrei luchot and the luchot were some reason together. And now you got to figure out, well, what's the lesson of that? Mm-hmm. So here I gave you, again, these are like, you know, I just sort of looked online and found a few things that I thought fit with that chiddush of the agadata.
Right.
So if you look here at, this is an article by Ari Vestriel.
How do you find
this? This I literally Googled.
You just Google.
Until I Googled, and then I go through everything that I find until I feel like I've seen enough. Uh-huh. For this, yeah, I just Googled, and I'm like, hey, that looks interesting. Nice idea. That looks interesting. Nice idea. Right.
That one, not so interesting.
Exactly. That's exactly what I do. Right. Haluchot shneihem, or that overlaps with something I've already seen. So he says, Haluchot shneihem nichtevu bidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, amnam hevdel echad haya beinahem. They're both written by God, but there's a difference. B'luchot harishonim gam heim atzmo poslo v'naso yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'luva luchot hashnim nemar psolecha. What's the fundamental difference, according to the psukim? One is written by God, one is hewn by man. Gufa luchot biad Moshe v'aktav mechtav elokim. One is made and written by God, the other is made by Moshe, written by God. And now we get a little bit drash, but sort of true. The first luchot, they're at a level, they deserve pure godliness. After the sin, God's word has to live on human created things, right? That's sort of descriptive. Haluchot arishonim omnam shurim ka'it. But he says, but if that's true, now you can have this word however you want, right? Pre-sin, post-sin, and leave it at that. Pure God, God plus man. Or in pshat, the luchot given bidin, or luchot given with the yud gimel midat harachamim. Right? Temerat, all those things. But what's the chiddush? They're shvurim, but they're not thrown out. You might have thought that, right, you might have thought if you just read the psukim that whatever exactly happened between luchot rishonim and luchot shniim,
like wiped out the first.
Exactly, we've moved to a new stage, and there's no connection to the old one. But by saying no, we maintain them, and we even maintain them in the same aron. That tells you kaid him shaychim madriga eliona yoter madriga ila nenu ruim kaid achi bechleit omedet lenegere nenu. Right, the imagery Chazal are painting by saying this is that they still exist, and when we, so to speak, look towards the Aron, we see both. We see a broken sort of idyllic world, and then a second chance, which is complete, but we remember that the second chance is a second chance to reach what existed in the first.
I mean, we don't lose sight of the end.
Exactly. And that's the imagery they're saying by the two of them, Munachem Baron. And then he says more than that. Once you say that's true, think about what the other Dea in Chazal hold. The other Dea is fascinating. The other Dea is saying, look, the current Brit sits in the Aron, and the remnant sort of like, you know, they go out, they guide us, whatever.
Right.
But if you think there's
towards what we hope we can have,
Something like that. But if you say they're in the same, that means that it's the same Aron that stayed in the Mishkan and sometimes left. Meaning, every, no matter what role the Aron is playing, Exactly. Right? And therefore, that's a theological claim.
Right.
Yeah, with everything wrapped up in that. And that's actually powerful. So, again, last week we focused on Shivrei Luchot. But then you realize, no, the Chazal, this day and Chazal is making decision to say that it's not just a statement about the Shivrei Luchot, it's a statement about the Luchot.
Right.
Right, that the Luchot, which are from a different stage in our relationship with God, magically still maintain a connection with the Shivrei Luchot. And every role the Aron has in our life, whatever you think that is, guiding us, spiritual center, v'chule, is attached with the Shivrei Luchot too.
Do you think that, is it that they, like, when they were arguing this point, were they, like, was it a machlokes in, like, the philosophy of it, or was this is just something that emerged?
So, it could be just an agadic one, and they're just arguing philosophy. It could be that it was historical, and then they derived a lesson from what they think was historical, or it's a combination. That they are convinced that a certain history, right? I mean, it's a combination. There's a certain ambiguity about the history,
right?
And the way you would interpret history would have certain implications theologically, and they were convinced by the combination of their interpretation of the history in the Psukim and the theological implications of those Psukim to accept a certain read of it, right? It could be some combination of any of those.
And also like a halachic machlokes at the
same time. And with halachic implications and...
Right.
Right? What? It is. I mean, there's so many layers to it. And when you realize how many things were, these were not obvious, and what decisions were made, you know, you're most if on reading that. I gave you probably a bit of too long of a piece. I won't read all of it. By again, Torah by Rav Shurlo. If you know Rav Shurlo, he's interesting. He's always fascinating. His questions are always fascinating. I don't always agree with his answers, but his questions are always fascinating.
Yeah, Barbara.
Right. He's great. He's a really interesting thinker.
Right.
Right. Like he's, you know, I'm going to say this, and this is not necessarily about him, but it's a rule in life. I once heard from Reich Chalap that B'shem Reich Chalap, that a good lamdan is like a good baseball player. He only needs to get it like 1 in 3, and a great lamdan is like a power hitter. Right, he only needs to get it 1 in 4. But when they get it, right, it's a home run. Right? Like people who are super, super, super brilliant, right? No matter what they say, it's brilliant. Sometimes it's wild, and sometimes it's obviously right. Right? They always hit it far. It's a question of direction. Right? And you know, he said, like you see this in certain, like there's just certain achronim, right? Like you see them. Everything they say is brilliant. Everything. It's just like some of them, you're like, I never could have thought of that, but it's like obviously the truest thing I've ever heard in my life. And other things, which is I could never have thought of that, and wow, there's a reason no one thought about that ever, right? Like it's completely brilliant, but completely crazy, right? Like, you know, these often, and there are other people who you're like, everything they say, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it's not like earth-shattering, I could come up with it too, but like that's just really solid, but like not like,
yeah,
right? Exactly. So, like, it's not an insult to say that, like, someone, I don't always agree with them. Like, everything they say is brilliant. I'm not saying he's only right 1 in 4. This is just the way I heard it from, you know, is you say it, b'shem Omer, this is the way they said it. I really do like what he writes. I always find it thought-provoking whether or not I agree, but that's quite a compliment. So he writes that, I'll say it, you know, I'll sort of skim through it outside. He says, there were two Ma'adot Har Sinai. We know that. This is not a Chiddush. Har Sinai happened, like,
yes,
right? The giving of the Torah happened twice.
Sure.
One is, in Chazal's language, is the Shavuot, and what's the other one? Well, no, Yom Kippur, right? That's how Chazal, when the second one is actually written. But for his purposes, it means there's one which everybody's there, and one which is just Moshe, right? That's pshat. This is not like, okay. And he says we barely mention the second one, right? We barely mention the second one. Like we don't draw attention to the fact that it is what it is. Meaning Chazal talk about the fact that it's Yom Kippur, but like we don't really talk about that fact. Like that, it's not celebrated as Matan Torah. But the second one, it's an intimate moment between Hashem and Moshe. But that reality that these are so different force us to ask, well, what exactly is the relationship between the two? Right? Meaning the one, the first one with all of the great revelation, the second one, which is not, like, what is the relationship between these two? And what's the answer, he says? Luchot v'shivrei luchot munachim ba'aron. That the object that reminds us of both, in the end of the day, they end up in the same aron.
Right.
Right? That the two Ma'amadei Har Sinai
is really one.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That they are, and then he gives a drush on it. And he says, I think what it means is that you go to the end, he says, Shivrei luchot him a baraka gadol, asher heere le'enei kol la'an nitan la'giyah. The first one commemorates the thunder and lightning, where you can get, like, the sea, right, the climactic moment of Jewish history. When we see the Shivrei Lochot, we remember what we can reach. It's my mashmutashu romimuta skavelo kisha batara. What does it mean to be elevated, etc.? Avshim lona trubi adenu shleimim anu mushpayim mashpani keret. But by Chazal saying they're still in the Aron, saying they may not exist in their full form, but they continue to influence us. Right? Meaning, it's not that the first moment of Sinai disappeared. I mean, think about the Rambam. The greatest moment in Jewish history upon everything is based is the first Matan Torah. Moment of Sinai, Pshuto Kamashmo. I, the Lucharum, that don't remain. But that's, according to the Rambam, that's literally the most important moment in all of Jewish history that all of faith is based on. You really think you could throw out the Lucharum from that one and replace it? No, Pashut Shivrei Luchot. Even the shards of that moment have to remain in the Aron, because that's Yisori Yisodet V'Amura Chachma, right? Leita She'isham Matsuri Rishon. Like, for the Rambam, all of faith, right? We're not of God, but everything past that, right? All of Torah is from that moment. And therefore, he says the drasha of Chazal is not really about the Luchot. It's about the two moments where the Luchot were given. Is that those two moments both have their place. And even though the second Luchot can only be given in a much more toned-down world, where it's a more toned-down relationship with God, we need to continue to be inspired by the symbol of the original Ma'amad Har Sinai. And again, I think this is true, right? That once you realize Chazal are making a decision, right? They're saying, right, there could have been two arms, but no, there is one. And the symbol of the first and the second givings of the Torah, and that which is made by God and that which is made by man, all those things are together. You realize that, again, half the Agadah is about the uniqueness of the Shivrei Luchot, and the other is about the Chiddush of the fact that the Luchot, Shivrei Luchot, Munachim Ba'aron. The Sfat Emet adds, and this is something we'll come back to because we're not focusing on it. Right, the Gemara had said the breaking of the Luchot, it had this other agadic comment, which is Lifamim Bitula Shel Torah Zeh Yisoda, the breaking of the Torah is its establishment. So that's something we'll talk about separately, which is the breaking of the Luchot. That's the next year, 2 weeks, I guess, because next week is Shushan Purim.
You have?
No. People are coming to my suda, you can come, and that's it. And then we'll move on.
I'd like to see you just talking into a wall.
There will be people there.
If no one comes, I will teach Torah to my children. I will not talk to a wall. Remember that I have people in my house. You know, besides for my students, I love you all, but, you know.
There are going to be people coming. I think David said he's coming.
We might go to his cousins. Whatever. Anyone who is coming, has to just tell me. Are you coming? I remember. No,
I don't think so.
Okay.
Jill coming.
Okay. I figure most people are here. It's only for people who, you know.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into the pshat on.
It's like
you know who's invited, right? Okay. You know the rules in my house, right?
Sorry for the wall comments.
So. The Sfas Emes says, and I think this is part of the pshat, is what does it mean? Pamim bitulashol Torah zeu kiyuma. It's that the fact that he broke the luchot is what led to the possibility of the second one. And if he hadn't broken them, the second one wouldn't exist. Right? That's true.
Sure.
Right? That's just descriptively true.
Right.
But I think that point is important for ours, which is that it's not just that luchot v'shivei luchot munachim ba'aron. It's that the breaking of the luchot, and whatever that symbolized, which you have to go back to that story and figure it out, is what allowed for the beginning of the rebuilding of the relationship that led to the second possibility, the second luchot.
Right.
I think that imagery is also being captured here.
But we wouldn't need the second one if it wasn't broken.
Either. Well, I think it's the other way around, right? You need to have the broken luchot with the second luchot to remind you of this, right?
Yeah.
To remind you of the breaking. I think that's right. What I would add. Okay. Right, of everything, right? If you wanted to put it, I would say, maybe another way of putting this is, you need the Shivrei luchot to remind you that the luchot aren't permanent.
Uh-huh.
Right? You need them together to remind you that nothing, even that written by God, is permanent if you don't deserve it.
Right.
Right. Those need to be together.
But you'll
right?
always get a second chance.
You might always get a second chance.
You probably get a second chance.
You might. You might. Okay. I'll skip that piece.
If you have a good enough attuni, you get a second chance.
Right.
Okay. So that is that point. The last point I want to make, or the last set of points I want to make, turning all the way to the end, is more of a halachic point. And that's the following. This is less on this sugya, but it's more to complete the general picture in Chazal. Back to the halachic point we talked about last week, is that what was the halachic, hashkafic, agadic point that the Gemara actually started? What was its main point? Very good. That if you had forgotten by this point where we started in this agadita, right, the original point of the agadita is that a Talmud Chacham forgets his learning, you still have to show him kavod. We talked about how much kavod.
You don't have to give him vazem.
You do have to give him kavod. Machloket Bavli Rishalmi, etc. That is nice in theory. But what does that look like in practice? Like, sure, it means don't insult, you know, a very serious Talmud Chacham who now has dementia. I get it. That's like, okay, ABCs, we got it. That, it doesn't mean.
Like, do you insult a regular person who gets
dementia? Don't do that either, please. God, that's not what I meant. But I think what you need to do to really sort of get a holistic picture here is, okay, but how do we deal with the reality that Talmidei Chachamim often, as they age, like anybody who, as they age, is not necessarily cut out for the task that they've been doing until now. How does, in practice, we agree you have to respect them, right, or not degrade them. But often, because people are afraid to degrade someone, they also don't take away a job from them that they might not anymore be qualified for. Right, what?
And I feel like you're talking about Joe Biden.
I'm not talking about Joe Biden. I really wasn't talking about Joe Biden.
You wasn't talking about Joe Biden, but now that you've brought it up, we're all going to laugh at the fact that it's kind of true.
Okay. I just want to, as someone pointed out yesterday, if you take Tulsi Gabbard out of the picture, right, or Gabbard, however you pronounce it, the youngest Democratic candidate right now is 70.
Yeah.
Okay, the youngest. Okay, we're just, this is not just Joe Biden. It's everybody. Elizabeth Warren is 70, and youngest candidate, because including
Trump's
older, because they're all in their mid, you know,
Trump's
70s.
Like,
so, but I really wasn't talking about them. I just wasn't.
I saw this great joke. It was like, oh yeah, the Democrats need to stop kidnapping people out of retirement homes to run in their elections.
yeah, great. Except it's the same thing. The Republicans, I don't understand. Like, literally everybody. All the people who dropped out were younger, but they dropped out.
Right.
But what do we do? Like, how do we deal with that reality? Because this is not a new thing, that people get old, and that line sometimes gets complicated. I mean, it just does, right? So what do you do, like, practically? What does it look like, halachically? So let's look at a few Gemaras and try to figure it out, and put together a picture. Again, this is a brief overview. Gemara now most of these sources are taken from a tshuva from Rav Yitzchak Nissim, who was, I believe, the second Sephardi chief rabbi of the state of Israel, who was asked, should we set a mandatory retirement age for rabbis? His answer, by the way, was yes, at 70. That was his answer. Currently, the policy of the Rabbanut is...
How old was he? He said that.
But currently, not 70. I want pension now. I mandatory retiring myself. No. But currently the law in Israel is, at what age do rabbis have to be mandatorily reviewed to make sure they're competent? 75. Then they can be approved for another 5 years and mandatory retirement at 80. That's the current law of the Rabbanut. Okay, we're facing this now in Efrat, because there was a bit of a controversy 4 years ago, because the Rabbanut doesn't really like Rabbi Riskin very much. This was very public. I don't have to be secret about this. You know, whatever. It was all over the news. And they didn't really want to renew him at 75. That was not really going to go over well in Efrat, considering he literally built Efrat. You know, in the 80s, when he used to come, Efrat, there was just like a little flag that says, one day there will be Efrat here, right? And now there's Efrat. So you weren't really going to retire him. But now he's like 79 and a half.
Right.
So we're at
he's out.
Mandatory retirement. Again, this is a person who, like, there was no reason in the world to say at 75 that he should retire. If you don't like his ideology, which the Rabbanu didn't, so then you'd want him retiring at 20.
What's his ideology?
He's just more left-wing, so they didn't want to, you know, they didn't really want him there to begin with. But to say he wasn't competent was ridiculous. I mean, until like 2 years ago, on Shavuos, his minhag was that he would walk to every community in the in Efrat and give shir like every hour like all night, and he did this until he was like 77. Apparently he stopped like last year with the Gan and Tamar. He didn't do it all the way up to us. He did every community except for us.
Okay.
Right, but he would go like so much so that in the Zayit they said like he would come past like Vasikin and push off the main, like that's he just would keep going. Like he wasn't someone who could look and say, "Oh yes, he's getting old. He can't cut." Like,
but
you know,
get that. Isn't there like three different like hill communities in Efrat, and each shul?
Five. He was going to five. It didn't go. Yeah,
and
no, exactly. My point.
Is at the
this
top
was in
of
his
hill. You have to climb down.
Yes, and this he was doing this at 77.
What?
So there was no reason to say he should retire. Okay, unless you wanted him to retire objectively. You know, like always, like having nothing to do with age, not objectively. The opposite of objectively. You know, when.
Right.
So here's what the Gemara says. Va'av Barzilai Giladi Amar LeDavid. So it's an agadic statement, but this is how he starts building it. So I in the end, I didn't give. I had mercy on you. Didn't give you the whole Tshuva Yehinatov. I just gave you the reference at the end if you want to read it. I gave you the summary of the relevant passage in Yehinatov by Rabbi Brody in English because I was really nice to you and to myself because it was really it's a really very long Tshuva. Good Tshuva, but very long. Va'av Barzilai Giladi Amar LeDavid. Ben Shmonim Shana Anochi Hayom Ha'ida Ben Tov Lira. Barzilai Agiladi said to David, I'm 80. You think I know the difference between good and bad? Mikan Shadehate Angels Kenim Mishtanot. From here you learn that old people, their opinions start to change, right? At some point, like, it just happens. And Barzilai said to David, look, I'm 80. What do you want for my life? Right? If you talk about the Chad Asher, Chawed Asher, Estam Mikan Shadehate Angels Kenim Mitrapot, Sisifta Tanshas Kenim Mitrapot, rather. Right, he said it. Their mouths start to weaken. Their ears start to right. They go through each statement. Their opinions change. Their speech right becomes slurred. They become hard of hearing. Like that's age for you. And Amar Rav says no. Barzilai Agiladi Shakra Havi. He's lying. Davi Amta Davi Be Rebbe Batishin Retrenchin Vave Time Akidra. I knew this 92-year-old woman who was a maidservant by Rebbe's house, and she was, you know, Rava said it was only because Shatuf Bezima Have. Nah, he got sick because he was a promiscuous person.
Oh.
And Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, and any who calls Shatuf Bezima, Zikna Kofetz in a love. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tamidi Chacham calls Manchum Askinin, Chachman Nitosefet Behem. And then the Gemara brings in Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, no, old people, Tamidi Chacham, as they get old, they just get wiser. Shedemar Bishishim Chachmav Erech Yamim Tvuna. But dumb people, you know, Amearetz, the older they get, the dumber they get. If I just had that, Gemara, what would you say? Should there be a retirement age for Tamid Chachamim? Because Tamid Chachamim buck the trend. They get smarter with age. Everybody else doesn't age well, but they're like wine. They just age well.
Are there not Tamid Chachamim who have gotten Alzheimer's disease?
Okay, so that's someone who forgot, but I'm saying barring that.
Yeah,
right? Age alone.
Well, age alone doesn't mean...
Do you consider all rabbis Tamid Chachamim?
No.
But how do you determine that?
So I think Chair Wheelchair was telling you to clone.
Well, I mean, I'm saying, how do you make a rule for the robot?
What? Okay, again, he's trying to paint the picture. But if we just had that, okay, we would say, no, there's no such thing as retirement. I mean, at some point, if someone's going senile, okay, fine. Right. But I'm saying, like, age alone should not be. If I just had that Gemara, okay, I would say our Gemara says, look, even someone who has really gone crazy or senile, dementia, whatever, whatever happens, you have kavod for them, or don't be mavaz them, but, you know, don't keep them in the rabbinate, please, right? But barring that, age is not enough of a reason. You continue, you get the Levim, Viben Chamishim Shana, Yashuv Mitzava, Avodav Elu Yavod Od, Shimon, Mazal Tov, be in touch, good luck, don't be quarantined, okay? Yeah, be in touch, if you have questions, be in touch, okay?
Is Shimon going to America?
We'll talk, we should make sure to talk at least once, like,
Mazal Tov, Shimon,
do Chazara, yeah. So, if you had this pasuk, so you see that the Levim at 50 retires, what would you say?
50 should be the age.
Right. Except Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Chulin. I gave you Rashi because he's shorter. That, what does Rashi say?
They don't live for 5.
Very good. The Chazal say, no. At 50, they stop schlepping things on their shoulders.
Yeah.
Right? But they can still open the doors, close the doors, sing, and, you know, give advice. And whatever. Meaning, other stuff. So, I would say, very good. You're right. I agree. Your 85-year-old Talmud Chacham should not be a schlepper. Okay, mask him. Other things he should be allowed to do. The Rambam writes, Zeh shenemar b'Torah b'Levim v'en chamishim shana yeshuv mitzvah avodah eino lo bizman shayu nosim ha-mikdash makom. The Rambam says 50 was only when they schlepped the Mishkan. V'eino mitzvah no hegel darod v'chlal, it only applied to the Mishkan. Aval darod eino leiv nisal b'shanim v'lo b'mu'un ela b'kol shit galgal kolom mirov ha-zikna yivazel avodah ha-mikdash. When does he stop singing?
When he can't sing,
you know, at some point, you know, people's voice starts to go, then he can't sing. The year Eli Shana Nifsala Lomar Shira. And even that, I think that's only for singing of all. Eam and Asharim. But he can still open and close doors. He can be the greeter. And I always thought I'd be good at this job. The greeter in the Veda Mikdash, like the Walmart greeter, but in the Veda Mikdash. Right? Look, that's definitely a better job for me than singing in the Veda Mikdash. Like, no one wants that. Right? Nobody wants that. The Magen Avot of the Tashbait says they were also advisors. Ben Chamishim Leitza. Why does the Mishnah say that in general people are 50 are good to give advice? Because he said that's what Levim did. Shemar Ben Chamishim Shana Yashuv Mitzvah Avod Davelo Yavod Ela Ma Asu Ma Yaseh V'Shivei Dechav Latei Lo Meitza. So again, if you had all of these sources, you would say, should there be retirement short of someone being physically or mentally incapable of doing his job?
No.
On the other hand, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Yud Zayin says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Moshivin v'Sanhedrin Ela Balei Koma, Balei Chochma, Balei Mare, Ubalei Zikna. The Gemara says, people in the Sanhedrin should be tall and smart and elderly, except in the next Gemara, in Sanhedrin Lamed Vav, it says, D'tanya, Ein Moshivin v'Sanhedrin Zakein Sresu Mishen Lobanim. But don't appoint an old person, or someone who has no children, or someone who is a eunuch.
Is that appointing or allowing to stay on?
Good. It's not totally clear, right? It's not clear. It could be don't appoint new. But if you look at the logic from Rashi, Rashi says why not? Because old people sheshachach kvar tsar gidul banim veino rachmani. There comes that point where old people sometimes forget what it was like to raise children. And they lose the necessary tempering of mercy that you need to be a judge. You know this experience sometimes, the curmudgeonly old people? Not everyone is like this, but there are people who, like, when they were raising kids, they were probably okay with kids sitting on the couch, recognize that kids sometimes spill their cereal on the floor, and, like, there gets that age where, I don't know if you have memories, because, you know, you guys are a little bit younger than me, but, like, my grandparents, like, my grandmother was still the generation where you had that thick plastic zippered thing on top of the couch. You know, like, that's not, you know, like, that age where it's like, you know, you can't do this with kids, right? Like, that's not, you know, you just have to be able to deal with spills and stuff. The Yad Ramah writes, Perish Rashi says Shachach Kfar Tzar Gidul Bonim Veina Rachmani Veina Ragin Lefarish Zakein Visha Dato Ktara Alav Veina Rachmani. He said, I think it's not really about children as much as old people sometimes have a temper. They just lose patience. It's true, by the way. Like, we just know this, right? At some point, just the way your brain is wired, as you get older, certain things, right, your inhibitions go down, and even if you're really good at controlling yourself, later, at a certain point, your inhibitions go down. You become incapable, and certain traits become ingrained, and you become a little bit more stubborn. It's just the way our brains work.
Can you also become more calm, though?
Could, but usually you're, you know, again, it could be. But there is this thing that, at some point, so based on this, you have a tempering of this. That on the one hand, you have these series of sources of Tamidei Chachamim as they get older.
They get
smarter. On the other hand, you say, yeah, they get smarter, but there are certain things that they can't do. Certain positions of leadership they might not be cut out for because of temperament.
Right.
So when you're trying to figure out whether you should retire them, on the one hand, you have to remember that we think that Tamidei Chachamim, aging is a benefit. On the other hand, you realize that even if their faculties are there, there comes a point at which not every job is matim for them anymore. But on the other hand, it's really hard to say they should retire, because that's a hard thing to tell somebody. And if you look at the Yerushalmi has this amazing line that Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Kivasav, Kol yom hayiti boreach min asura. My whole life, I didn't want leadership. I ran away from leadership until I got it. Achshav shenichnasti, now that I am a leader, kol mishu ba umotzieni, if anyone tries to take me out, bikumkum hazeh ani yoridlo, I will chase him with this boiling hot kettle of water. Right? Which is a very good way of saying, look, even the biggest grace and tzaddik who doesn't want a position of leadership, once you're in it, it really is a big deal to remove them.
Yeah.
So like, you have these competing factors. On the one hand, Tamidei Chachamim, they really do get wiser. We respect our elderly Tamidei Chachamim, and we know it's really hard to take them away from their jobs. Mitzad Sheni, there are certain jobs that really do need young people. Right? You, at a certain age, you're just not
cut it.
You're not flexible enough in the way you think. You're not whatever. You know, you forget Tzar Gidul Banim, you're a little bit stubborn, you're a little bit, you know, irritable or whatever, right? You're not healthy, right? So even if you're just a little bit, right, you have, you know, bad pains in your knee, right, that probably affects the way you're thinking. It's just, you know, these things affect you. So again, you put these sources together, it's hard to come up with a firm conclusion, but you see the balancing principles. So I gave you just Ray Brody's summary of Rav Yitzchok Nissim's psak, and he says, on the basis of this passage, Israeli Chief Rabbi Yitzchak Nissim suggests the Israeli rabbinate could embrace mandatory retirement age of 70 for Israel civil servants on condition that both state and society provide them proper pensions and honorary roles. Right? Basically, look, balance it. Give them honorary titles, honorary roles, meaning the 85-year-old rabbi, invite him to, you know, say the honorary Dvar Torah to Siyum HaShas, but don't have him yom, you know, teaching rowdy teenagers. You know, like, you know, come up with something, right? Like, balance the factors. Others scoffed at the suggestion, contending the passage was legally irrelevant because it applied only to courts adjudicating capital matters, and because Jews had historically allowed their spiritual leaders to serve until they saw fit. Other people said no. To the extent that this exists, it's very specific. Capital crimes. Like, we really don't even want the slightest bit of... Every other job we can live with a little bit of whatever comes with age. And he said, historically, that's what we did. This dispute continues to flare up in contemporary Israel. So now you understand the both sides. I took from one article, not he has two. He has one, the generic one, and the other one specifically defending Rory Riskin. So he has two. With the government suspending enforced regulations, demanding the civil service municipal rabbis leave their posts at age 67, even as many of them continue to serve with vitality. And one... major concern about forced retirement is that it violates the halachic principle, which asserts that in the absence of sinful behavior, one may only promote but never demote a spiritual figure. Malam because of Maridin, this principle was intended to protect a dedicated leader from suffering the indignity of a major social disgrace. Some decisors, however, have responded that this concern is irrelevant when the initial appointment was made under clearly defined employment conditions, especially when everyone understands that officials must retire at some age. Rainism, moreover, contended that this principle would certainly not be a factor. The leader's physical condition did not allow him to fulfill all of his work responsibilities. So again, okay, here I just give you sort of the summary of, again, this is just a summary. You're interested in the topic, to take it Lomek, read the whole Tshuva Yitzchak Nissim and the responses to it. But I just want to point out that, again, to fully understand the sugya, it's enough to realize that, you know, this is often the case, right? There's the local sugya, and then like there's the broader issues it touched on, which are often completely different sugyas. But this, I think, fills out a little bit of the halachic picture of, okay, but how do you deal with the complexity? On the one hand, you want to give them honor and recognize the benefit that comes with age. On the other hand, recognizing certain roles, age does not matim for. And how do you balance those? And this is, again, one halachic discussion that relates to that, which I think completes a little bit of the issue. Okay?
Is that what Gemara really says?